welcome to the poem of the week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Michael.
We're going to talk today not about an organ system or disease or a drug. We're going to talk about the electronic medical record and specifically about clinical support systems. These are still in development, and I personally think they have enormous potential but perhaps haven't been realized. You've chosen a poem that comes this week from the American Journal of Public Health. It actually looks at computerized decision support systems. These can be freestanding, they can be on apps, but they also can on occasion be linked to the EMR, perhaps making them much more powerful if you can use them just in time when you actually are charting or sitting with a patient. So the question they're asking is, do these computerized decision support systems, when they're linked to the EMR, do they actually improve patient outcomes? What did this meta-analysis, what did they find, Mark?
Yeah, this was interesting to read the full study and try to dig into this a little bit more. This is something, I personally have been involved in, trying to study clinical decision making, and I hate when my beliefs are challenged like anybody. It's terrible. And so, I've always had this, sort of underlying belief assumption that, clinical decision support systems have the potential to improve care, to improve, what we're doing for patients. These guys looked at a bunch of databases. They did a very careful search to try to identify randomized trials that looked at these clinical decision support systems linked to an EMR. So this was a fairly narrow look at these systems. They essentially found, 28 randomized trials, 9 assessing morbidity, 16 mortality, and 17 economic outcomes. They only looked at studies that had an evidence-based algorithm linked to patient-specific data. So if the algorithm would go through the patient's record and say, aha, you haven't had your pap smear, or aha, you're taking Lasix and we haven't checked your potassium in 6 months or whatever. So there was some kind of evidence-based guidance linked to patient-specific data, things like an evidence-based order set or linking to external references or just presenting clinical decision rules or things like that were not necessarily included. They wouldn't have met their criteria. So most of the studies were considered to be moderate or high risk of bias. They found 9 studies with 14,000 patients that looked at morbidity, and they found that actually the likelihood of morbidity, adverse outcomes, non-fatal adverse outcomes, was decreased in people using or in settings where they used the CDSS. Relative risk was 0.82, 95% confidence interval was statistically significant. They were concerned about the quality of those studies, and so they called that conclusion into question a bit, saying, they didn't really randomize or they didn't tell us how they concealed allocation, things like that. And masking isn't always, it'd be hard to think about how to mask people to something like this. They know that they're getting these, and you can't give them fake recommendations. You can't give them incorrect recommendations, So I think I'm going to give them a pass on that, the researchers, because I can't think of how you would necessarily effectively blind people in that kind of trial. They didn't find any difference in terms of mortality. It was about 6% in each group. Probably would be difficult to power a study to detect a mortality difference. They did kind of a neat little analysis where they left one out of each study. So basically, when they had 9 studies for looking at morbidity, they redid the analysis 9 times, each time leaving out one of the studies, and they showed no difference. So basically, no one study was an outlier that was really driving things. I think that's kind of a nifty way to look at a meta-analysis. They didn't find any impact on economic outcomes. The bottom line is, after, this fairly rigorous, selective kind of meta-analysis showed, I think, some evidence of benefit in terms of reducing morbidity, but not mortality and not cost.
Right. So,
so we can throw the computers away. Many times, you know, certainly in our clinic, I've wanted to throw the computer away. In terms of the quality of the EMR and the interface and all that.
Many times our patients want them to throw away, but this is suggesting that doesn't really help our decision making.
Well, I mean, the morbidity, I think, was decreased, but mortality wasn't. I'm not sure that it was really powered to find an all-cause mortality benefit. They didn't address the power issue, but I don't think it was really powered to find that. Also, many of these trials were relatively short-term, so they were looking at things over a period of less than a year. You really wouldn't expect to see a significant mortality benefit. I definitely sound like I'm being a defender of clinical decision support. I can't help but think that done well to scale couldn't help but improve outcomes by, you know, helping people practice in a more evidence-based way. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they really don't have any value. I guess one other point to make is that most of these trials were in academic settings. And so, you know, perhaps they were already doing many of the recommended things. Maybe they, you know, patients were getting good quality care already, and that could have dampened any difference between groups. So that might be one limitation.
Thanks, Mark. Talk to you again next week.
All right. See you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.